Next Sunday, we're going to start our verse by verse going through Genesis. This is our last introductory idea, but we had to lay some groundwork as we're getting into it. And so as I begin this morning, I'm going to make a statement that may bother you. I'm going to make a statement opening this message that may bother you. For years, it would have bothered me. I might not have admitted it, but it would have bothered me. So here it is. Are you ready? Creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue. Creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue. So does that statement bother you? See, the kind of question I would have had was, well, wait a minute, that statement's not good enough. That statement's not good enough. Aren't we supposed to look for reasons to explain our faith? And the verse that would jump into my mind is, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to any man that asks you a reason of the hope that's in you in meekness and in fear. And that's true. That's true. But it also brings a question. The fact that this statement bothers us reveals a fundamental flaw in our thinking. See, I was in college ministry for years. I'd go to college campuses, I'd debate, I'd work with college students, and I spent a lot of time learning the proof or the evidence for creation, the evidence for those things, because I liked having the answers. How many of you, it really bothers you when somebody asks you a question about the Bible and you can't answer it? Somebody asked me a question a while back and I just said, I don't know. Bible doesn't tell us. It was on unicorns. Were there really unicorns? Are there really, what's that talking about? Are there really unicorns? And I said, well, the Bible says there's unicorns. I guess there are. What kind of an animal was it? I don't know. I think it was a unicorn. Well, where's the, I don't know. It doesn't say. It doesn't say. But here's what we do. Our naturalistic mind immediately says, well, that's a mythical creature. There can't really be such a thing as a, why not? The Bible says that there is. And so what happens is we are influenced by our culture in the way that we approach the Scriptures. So I said the fact that this statement that creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue, it bothers us and it reveals a flaw in our thinking. Because we have been indoctrinated by our culture to believe that theology... Now listen to this. We have been indoctrinated by our culture to believe that theology is subordinate to science. That theology is simply a matter of belief or a matter of faith. Science, we can get our hands around and we can believe that. We can have faith in science. That's flawed thinking. That is flawed thinking. Theology used to be called the queen of the sciences. It was called the queen of the sciences because in the final analysis, the ultimate reigning truth is theology. Can I ask you something? What is more powerful than God? What is more powerful than God? Nothing. What is more true than God? Nothing. What is more holy than God? Nothing. We were just singing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. God in three persons. Now listen, either that's true or it's not. But what we have been so influenced in our culture that we always say, prove it. You believe this? Prove it. You believe such and such? Prove it. Biblical theology, the revelation of God in Scripture, trumps all other sources of information and knowledge. It is over it. It's more important. It's more authoritative. It's more true, regardless of what the world says. For centuries, creation was a theological issue, not a scientific one. Did you hear what I said? For centuries, creation was a theological issue. Why? Because God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many of you were there? No. None of us. Only God was. Only God was. And so it was a theological issue because we understood the beginning by the Word of God. Then came men like Charles Lyell, James Hutton, and Charles Darwin. These men confiscated the subject of creation They stole the subject of origins, removed it from theology, and placed it in the field of science. The only problem is it doesn't belong there. It doesn't belong there. We'll get there in a minute. So here's the idea. Creation is a theological issue, not a scientific one. That's number one. Number two, creation is a foundational issue, not a mythical issue. Creation is a foundational issue, not a mythical issue. So I want to ask you a question. Here's a test for you. What operating system do I use? Many of you use computers. How many of you actually use a computer? You don't understand it necessarily, but you use it. All of your computers have an operating system. You know, you might have Windows XP or Vista. You might have a Mac. All of these different computers, they all have an operating system. That operating system tells your programs and your applications what to do. If you had Microsoft Word a few years ago, now it'll work on a Mac, but if you took Microsoft Word and tried to put it on a Mac computer, it wouldn't work. If you had a friend that had a Macintosh computer, an Apple computer, and you had an IBM type of computer, they couldn't talk to each other. Different operating systems. That operating system shows your programs how to work. So here's your question. Here's my question to you. What is your operating system? How do you process information? If someone tells you something, how do you determine whether or not it's true? Now, some things are easy to determine whether or not they're true. Some things are very easy to determine whether or not they're true. It's simple. It's warmer in here than it is outside. Is that a true statement? Is someone cold in here right now? How many of you are too cold right now? Would you raise your hand? All right, you lose. Now, he said with great mercy and grace and love. So it's easy to prove that it's colder outside than it is in here. That's something that's very easy to prove. Now, how about this? Which is better? That's subjective then, isn't it? That's subjective. So now you start to have questions of right and wrong. Is it right to dress a certain way? Is it wrong to dress a certain way? Is it right to speak a certain way or wrong to speak a certain way? Is it right to believe a certain way or wrong to believe a certain way? Well, how do we make those determinations? Follow your heart. Well, that would be good, but the Bible says the heart of man is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who should know it? So here's what we're going to teach our kids. Okay, kids, here's what I want you to do. I want you to find something that's desperately wicked and follow it. That's what you just said by follow your heart. But here's the problem. We have our Jiminy Cricket theology. Right? Pinocchio, follow your heart. How did that work out for him? Not so good. See, here's the idea. Now we've got to understand our operating system determines whether or not we are capable of judging right from wrong. And do you know what the problem in our whole society, our whole philosophy is? We have lost the ability to determine right from wrong. Why? Because we have removed the standard. What we've said is that science is more important than the Word of God in determining right from wrong. So what operating system do I use? What controls my thinking? How do I discern truth? Let's get a biblical operating system. Let's find out what the Bible says about our thinking. Let's find out what the Bible says about how we're supposed to look at Scripture. Look with me at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. And verse 160. Somebody tell me what the 119th Psalm is about. What is it about? The Word of God. The Word of God. You guys aren't answering today. Really quiet. Psalm 119, 160. Tell me if you like this. Man, think about this verse for this subject. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Now, let me ask you a question. This is your operating system is going to kick in here. Do you agree with this verse? Three people agree with this verse? Let me ask you again. Do you agree with this verse?
Amen.
Amen. If you agree with this verse, then all of a sudden you are saying that Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2 are true. They're either true or they're not. Can't be both. You can't have it both ways, regardless of what politicians say. I voted for it before I voted against it. Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Look at Job. Job, that's the book right before Psalms. Job, chapter 13. Job, chapter 13 and verse 15. Oh, this is tough. This is easy to say when you're not having trouble. This verse is easy, and it's very poetic and beautiful until you're in the situation Job was in. Look at what it says. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now, how many of you think that's a good verse? Say amen. But it's a lot easier to like than to obey. Do you trust God today? Do you trust Him? Do you trust His words? Do you trust what He has said? See, what we're doing is we're trying to install a biblical operating system right now. Number one, our primary operating system, our foundational truth is, thy word is true from the beginning. I believe that. God's word is true from the beginning to the end. Amen? I like what the old preacher said. He said, I believe it from generations to revolutions. I just believe what it says. He said, I even believe the cover. It says, Holy Bible. Now listen, I just believe what this says from the beginning. And now I've got to move, not only because I believe it's true from the beginning, now I believe what it says. And what it says is that I can trust God. I can trust Him. So now let's go on. We're installing our operating system. Look at Psalm 91. We'll start reading in verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So here's the idea. If I dwell with God, if I abide with God, I'm under His shadow. Now look at verse 2. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. Teenagers, look up here for a second. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Do you trust Him from the beginning? Genesis chapters 1 and 2 are true. They're foundational. They're true. You can trust God. Amen. You can believe God. He's our only hope. This is our operating system. Thy word is true from the beginning. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Because I have abided with Him and I know Him and I've been under His shadow, I trust Him. I trust what He says. His word is true from the beginning. It's our operating system. So now, how do we implement this? What do we do when you go to school and some teacher tells you that it all happened by random chance? I had my computer, or my camera. I had a little digital camera on my desk. I was talking with Pastor Nathan. What happens is this thing, what is this thing? Tuner? Guitar tuner. Okay? Now, if you saw this, and we talked about this with a watch a while back, but imagine the lengths to which I would go if I saw this and I realize that it's there, I can touch it, I can feel it, I can see how it works, but I determined that I had to find a way to prove this, the origin of this, but I don't believe that man designed it. Okay? So I begin with the premise that man did not design this. That's where I'm starting. Now, first of all, is that kind of a stupid place to start? Because isn't it obvious that it was designed by somebody? And, you know, a chimpanzee didn't do this. right? You know, an owl, a spotted owl or a bald eagle didn't do this, right? A tree didn't do this. It didn't just grow. It didn't just happen. So now I'm going to have to come up with some fantastic thing. Okay, there's this nebula. What's a nebula? I don't even know what a nebula is. But there's this nebula out there. And from the middle of this nebula came this creature named Zombak. And Zombak said, I'm going to come to Earth, and Earth has out-of-tune guitars. And so Zombak, he decided that from this nebula, he was going to bring information that no one ever had, and now we could be in tune. Now, how many of you think that'd be silly? Is it as silly as it all came out of nothing? It just happened. There was nothing, and it exploded. Now, listen. What happened with Lyell and with Hutton and with Darwin, they set out to prove the existence of mankind and all living creatures, but they removed the possibility of there being a God. They removed it. And so now you have to come up with the most ridiculous and fantastic ideas because of that. But when you have a biblical operating system, you know that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. That's my operating system. So what do I do then? How do I prioritize these things in my mind? Well, the Bible tells us how to do that. Look at 2 Corinthians 10:5. Guys, it is getting too cool in here now. So help us out, will you? 2 Corinthians 10:5. I need to become like a politician, and you can come and lobbyists can come and bring me money, or bring the guys money to determine whether it'll be cooler or warmer in here. See how that goes. 2 Corinthians 10. Look what the Bible says. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now look at verse 5. We look at verse 5, and we use this verse many times in counseling for people that are struggling with things in their mind. And it's true about that, isn't it? It's very effective. How many of you have used verse 5 to help you in a time when your mind's been out of control? All right? But it's the truth goes deeper than that. Let's look at it. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, so now we have something called science, and science is going to try and exalt itself above God. So what Darwin and these other, Jay Gould would be a current man, Carl Sagan, who just died, Carl Pagan, right? He's not a pagan anymore. Now look, what they've tried to do is they've tried to take their understanding of science, and we'll see that it's not science in a minute, but they take their understanding of science and they exalt itself themselves, they exalt it above the knowledge of God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Is that what the Bible says? Right? So we know that about God. But they say, that's a nice myth, but it didn't happen. So our biblical operating system requires us to grab a hold of that thought or that teaching and bring it down underneath the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. So what we're saying is, it is creation is a theological issue, it's not a scientific issue. And then we said that creation is a foundational issue, not a mythical issue. We need a biblical operating system. So here are some questions. The first question is this: do I believe God? Now, here's what some of you might be saying, but you don't understand. I have honest questions. Yeah, I believe God, but I have honest questions. That's not what I asked you. I didn't ask you if you had questions. I asked you if you believed God. Do you believe God? See, in our marriage, Laura and I, we have to establish that we love each other and that we're committed to each other until one of us dies or Christ returns. So if she does something to me, or if I do something to her, she does something to me, and then she says, do you forgive me? The answer is, of course. I forgave you when I said I do. I forgave you when I said I do. Because our foundational premise is that we love each other and love forgives. Laura was just reading a book on this, and the guy said that forgiveness is it removes my ability to hurt you for hurting me. Is that what it was? I give up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Okay? So what we're saying is that our foundational principle is that we love each other, we're committed to each other for life, and that foundational truth means that we have to forgive each other. That's what it means. So now our foundational truth here is that we believe God. And because I believe God, then every other question becomes secondary to that. I believe God. I believe God. That's my biblical operating system. So now we need to understand creation is a foundational issue, not a mythical issue. So let's get a biblical view of creation. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. A biblical view of creation. Now remember what I said, it's a theological issue, not a scientific issue. Can I give you a biblical proof for that? Would that help you? Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 3. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Let's get everybody there. I want you to see this. This is the authority. This is the power. I want you to see this. Through evidence, we understand. Is that what it says? Through scientific proof, through the minds of the greatest investigators and empiricists of our day. Is that what it says? It says through faith. Through faith. What's faith? Look at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Through faith, we understand that God made it all out of nothing. And even more than that, that it was Jesus Christ who did it. The Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Amen. How do I know that? By faith. By faith. Well, that's not good enough. I need proof. How can I just accept that? Don't you understand? I have a scientific mind. No. No. You have a faithless mind. Are you saying science is bad? No. No, but it's not as good as the Bible. See, we have to put it in its proper place. A biblical view of creation. Look at 1 Timothy 6:20. I think this will help you a lot. 1 Timothy 6:20. First Timothy 6:20. Now we're just going to read the first part of this, then we're going to go across the page. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Okay, what's been committed to his trust? If you look at 2 Timothy 1:13, hold fast the form of sound words. All right, so he's been given words, the Word of God. That's what he's been given. He's told to keep that, right? So verse 20, 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of what? Science, falsely so called. Can I tell you something? Evolution's not science. That's science, falsely so called. That's science, falsely so called. So now we're getting a biblical understanding of this. By faith we understand that God created the worlds, that they were framed by the Word of God. By faith we understand that. You just have to believe God. That's where it starts. Now, do we have evidence and proof of different aspects of creation? Sure. But that's not where we start. We start by believing God. God said it. What if you found some evidence that contradicted the Bible? Are you still going to believe God? See, now, when you, there's where you find out. Do you really believe God? Now, don't miss this. I don't have this in my notes anywhere, but I wanted to say it. This is as good a place to say it as any. We have some doctors here in the room. How many of you want a doctor to use his textbook from 60 years ago to treat you? No thanks. Why? Because medicine has changed in 60 years. Dr. Ree was telling me just a couple of months ago about how things are so different now from when he was in medical school. That's why he continues his education. He makes sure that he's learning the latest things that are going on in the world. Because it's different. They've changed things. When I had my knee reconstruction, they cut me open like this. Now if somebody has a knee reconstruction, they just get a couple of little holes, unless Phil Edwards does it, and then it's like they take it apart. And... but aren't you glad? It's changed in what, 10 or 15 years? It changed, didn't it, Dr. Edwards? Yeah. Look, he's shaking his head no at me first. What hasn't changed? The anatomy hasn't changed. People are still people. They're still knees. They're still ligaments. They're still tendons. That hasn't changed. The procedures and the things that the doctors are supposed to do, it changes. Science changes. Do you know that? Science changes. Whether it's genetics, whether it's any of it, they find things and they change their opinions. Oh, we used to think this is true. Now we know this is true. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Has never changed. Amen. It has never changed. So now we're getting some foundational truth. Some foundational truth. When the Bible speaks with regard to creation, or when it speaks with regard to origins, it speaks truly and factually. All Scripture begins in Genesis. Scripture begins in Genesis 1 and 2 with a very straightforward account of the origin of the universe and the earth and everything else in it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, this is not ambiguous. It's not unclear. It's very clear. Pre-Darwin, no one was confused by it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So, number one, we said that creation is a theological issue, not a scientific issue. Secondly, we said that creation is a fundamental or a foundational issue, not a mythical issue. And number three, creation is an examining issue, not a secondary issue. It's an examining issue. We face a test at the very outset of the Bible. You're not going to get past the first verse, the first words of the Bible, without being confronted by a test. Do I believe this? Do I believe that God created the heaven and the earth? This test, do you believe the Scripture? No one gets past the first verses of the Bible without having to face that. So now let me ask you this question. Are you ready? Here's a test. Do you submit to the Scripture? Do you submit to the truth of the Word of God? We are confronted with that all the way back at the beginning. See, if God created us, He has the right to tell us what to do. He created us. Either you believe what the Bible says or you don't. That's the test. You can accept what Genesis says or you can reject it. You can't change it. You don't have that privilege. Remember what it says in Revelation. You add to or you take from the words of this prophecy, then the plagues that are in it will be added unto you. Now, if you don't believe they're plagues, it doesn't matter. I have this, if you look at my outline, I have this bolded and in red. That's so I emphasize it for you. Like the preacher had in his notes, weak point, shout louder. Did you hear about that? But here, this is really important. I don't want you to miss this. There is no need for you to edit God. Well, what he really means is this. No, what he means is in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's what he means. How did he do it? He's God. He did it. We believe that. There's nothing lacking anywhere in Scripture, and that's true of Genesis 1 and 2, and we do not need to embellish it. You either accept it or reject it. Those are your two options. But what about science? That's the question. When you come into this, everybody says, what about science? Don't we have to apply science to the Genesis account to be intellectually honest? Don't we have to apply science to be intellectually honest? Don't we have to bring the vast scientific knowledge that we've accumulated in the modern world to bear upon the text of Genesis? in order that we may have a true understanding of it. You know, there's a lot of people who believe that. There are a lot of people who call themselves Christians who believe that Genesis is an inadequate presentation of what happened. And we have to marry it with scientific discovery in order to get to the truth. So here's what I want to tell you. You need to get past the notion. You need to get past the notion. Get past the idea that science makes any contribution to the understanding of creation. Listen to what I said. Science makes no contribution to the subject of creation. None. Let me say it again. Science makes no contribution to the subject of creation. Well, what about creation science? It's a good question. We'll get to that in a minute. Why does science make no contribution to the subject of creation? Why is that? Because there's no scientific way to explain creation. It was not a natural event or series of natural events. It was a brief series of monumental supernatural events that cannot be explained by science. Right? That's it. When Dr. Ree fell and hit his head, and we went to see him, and the brain was swelling, and we were worried about brain damage, and then the doctor looked at the EKG, and he says, "We didn't do this. We don't know how it happened. We didn't do this." How are you going to explain that? Or, as Ricky would say, "Explain that to me, Lucy." How are you going to do that? You can't. Science cannot explain supernatural events. And what is a more supernatural event than the creation of the world? Amen. You can't explain God. You cannot explain God. Anything that can be explained is by definition finite, and God is infinite. Creation had no observers and cannot be repeated. It's not observable. It is not repeatable. It did not happen in any uniform, predictable, observable, repeatable, fixed, natural law. None of it happened according to any of those things. It's just the opposite of that. Creation was a series of supernatural, instantaneous, inexplicable miracles. That's why nowhere in the Genesis account is evolution mentioned or even hinted at. There are no natural processes in evolution. In creation. There are no natural processes in creation. There's only one record of creation, and that's in Genesis 1. That's it. People say, listen to what John MacArthur said. People say, "Well, couldn't God have used evolution? Couldn't he?" Here's MacArthur. "That's a ridiculous question. Could a frog fly? It's irrelevant. It's intrusive. But the answer is no, he couldn't have used evolution because God doesn't equivocate with himself. He determined to create miraculously, which is the only way it could have happened because that's the way it did happen. And he did it all in 6 days. This is either true or it's not. If it's true, then Scripture is true. If it's not, then Scripture is not true." Amen? So you can see at the front, at the beginning of it, you face a very formidable test. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it? So then it comes to this. Isn't this creation thing a secondary issue for Christians? And we get this now. Have you noticed that there are things that you must believe to be a Christian, and there's all these secondary issues that aren't important? That's the way that Christianity has become. Again, let me quote MacArthur. This is from his book, The Battle for the Beginning. "Evolution was invented in order to eliminate the God of Genesis and oust the lawgiver and obliterate the inviolability of his moral law. Evolution is the latest means fallen sinners have devised to suppress our innate knowledge of God and the biblical testimony to him, and that we are accountable to him." So his point is that evolution is created. The reason that evolution was invented in the first place is to remove the accountability that a sinner has to a holy God. So is this really a secondary issue? No. No. A letter was written to the president of a major Christian organization, one of the most famous organizations that you could know. I wish I knew the name of it. The writer wouldn't give us the name of it. Here's the written answer. Quote, "Our ministry takes no stand on such secondary issues," talking about creation. Our efforts are designed to bring people together based on the historically essential doctrines of Orthodox Christianity. Creation is one of those secondary doctrines, and we believe it falls into the category of non-essentials like spiritual gifts, eternal security, and the rapture. What's more fundamental than in the beginning God? See, the idea of a priority is determining the things that are first, right? What's Genesis 1:1 say? Okay, so in your Bible, what comes first? What can be more foundational and fundamental than in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? How can we say, well, you know what? I start believing about Genesis 7. Now listen. There isn't an issue more primary than this, because it's the first one you're confronted with when you open your Bible and get past the title page. There are 106 Christian colleges. Don't miss this. There are 106 Christian colleges in the Christian College Coalition. They were asked this question. 106 colleges in the Christian College Coalition. They were asked this question. Do you interpret, as an institution, do you interpret Genesis chapters 1 and 2 literally? 106 Christian colleges in the Christian College Coalition. They were asked, do you interpret Genesis 1 and Genesis 2 literally? Five of them answered yes. 101 said no. And we wonder why Christianity is in such a sorry state. How many of you have a hard time understanding in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth? Is that hard to understand? No. But if you exalt science above the scriptures, it's hard to believe. Casting down imaginations at every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Just what exactly does Genesis 1 and 2 mean? If it doesn't mean what it says, which even a child can understand, then how are we to know what it means? And at what point can we trust anything in the Bible? So what's the point of this whole thing? Thy word is true from the beginning. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Do you remember what happened to the Apostle Paul? In the face of overwhelming empirical evidence, he was in the middle of a storm. He's in the middle of a typhoon. The ships all around him are breaking up. They're throwing the stuff overboard so it won't sink. They put out four anchors because they can't even tell which way the wind's blowing. Everything, these guys know they're going to die. In the face of overwhelming scientific and empirical evidence, listen to what he said. This is Acts 27:25. He said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. You know what? It doesn't matter what science comes up with. I believe God. I believe God. That's where we have to start. That is where we have to start. Now, as we go through Genesis, we will find scientific evidence that supports our position. Because if God is true, then His creation will demonstrate His truthfulness. Amen? But we don't believe it because it can be proved. We believe it because God said it. And God's Word is much higher than my puny intellect or the intellect of any teacher that you have or any book that you would ever read. God's Word is true. Do you trust it? Do you trust it? The title of this message is very simple. In whom will I trust? In whom will I trust? Am I going to trust science or am I going to trust God? Can I tell you something? I'm thankful for science. I'm thankful that I've got a knee so that I can walk around. I'm thankful for that. But more than anything else, I'm thankful for that. The God that created me wanted to know me, wanted to forgive me of my sin, give me eternal life with Him, a relationship with Him now, joy and purpose and fulfillment in this life. He gave me the opportunity to raise my kids to know Him. He gave me the opportunity to help these young people to know how they can have a life that is fulfilled and meaningful. And it all happened because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I believe God. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word.